Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
In the year of our Lord 2018, as we continue on with the program, it is still getting more and more cloudy out there. I guess we're going to have more rain coming our way, maybe this afternoon, but it is, well, you know, as I said before, we could use the rain, but now I think we've probably had enough, and we could probably move along on this kind of stuff with rain now. There's just too much of it going on. What we have now is this whole thing with the ice crackdown. Well, first let me just finish off the Rosenstein thing. Rosenstein should be fired. There's no question about it. He should be fired. And so should probably half of the senior staff of the Justice Department. No doubt about it. No questions asked. I mean, that's just, they should be. And those people that still have their clearances, their security clearance, should have them revoked if they're no longer working for the federal government. Period. There's no exception to this. There's no need for it. You can't do this in the private sector. Why the hell can we do this in the government sector? And finally, the European Union, the EU, says that there's not really going to be no tariff war or trade war. Because, you know, these people that on the left that thought, yeah, he's gonna really hurt us now with the Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Maxine Waters is out there. We'll get to her story next, right after I finish this thing with ICE. Now, ICE is cracking down on employers of illegal aliens. Finally. Because of all of this stuff that Trump's not just his economic policy here in this country as far as his tax policy and his regulation policy, but enforcing real, honest, more fair trading with our partners. In this, it doesn't, now see, what some people seem to think that fair trade is, oh, they buy as much as we buy from us, as much as we buy from, no, that's not the case. The case about fair trade involves more than just equivalent, purchasing. Fair trade also includes that your pricing of your goods and services does not undermine the products and service that are the same or equivalent in the country that you're exporting to. In other words, it's very difficult for Americans to compete against, let's say the steel industry. It's very difficult for American companies to compete against other countries like China if, let's just say for to make a ton of steel in America, it costs $1,000 to make a ton. But China has it set up where the government subsidizes and their regulations are less and their employee costs are less, due mostly to regulation, where instead of $1,000 a ton for their steel, it now is only $500 per ton. Well, that's not fair. That's not fair trade. You can't. And then China takes that $500 per, you know, per ton steel and then brings it to the United States and says, yeah, we'll sell it to you for $750 a ton, where the American company, it's already costing them $1,000, so they can't match that price anyway. And if they're going to make a profit, they've got to sell it for, $1,250 a ton. So that's where the real fairness has to come into play. And Trump is saying, China, you're subsidizing. You cannot do that anymore and undermine us. So now China is saying, well, you know what? If we're going to be fair, I guess our real cost is closer to the $1,000 like you are in the States. So maybe it's only $900, but by the time it gets to the States and blah, 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 it's, we have to sell it for, $1,250 or, $1,200, just like the U.S. steel company does. Well, if that's the case, then that means less Chinese steel is going to be bought, which means there's a need for more American-made steel because it's the same steel. I know there are differences in it. People say, no, Chinese steel is inferior, blah, blah, blah. I get it. But let's just say everything else is equal. So now they're saying, well, now let's just buy it here. It's better. It's more cost effective. We get it sooner if we buy it here. So if a manufacturer needs steel now, they don't have to, wait a year for it to come. They can have it in 6 months. Because it doesn't got to make that long trip across the Pacific Ocean. And, well, if they need more steel, they're buying more. Well, what is that? That means that Americans get these high-paying steel-making jobs. That's the fair trade part. That's a huge part of Trump's economic policy. That is why there are so many new jobs. That is why there are so many new high-paying jobs. If Trump survives for two terms, I wouldn't be surprised if we start, well, not that anybody really buys them anymore, but I wouldn't be surprised if we start making VCRs and televisions in this country by the year 2024. Again, we used to. We don't really do that anymore. Wouldn't be surprised if we started doing it. If factories here started opening up with American workers, American management, even American ownership, they started opening up here. But we just don't have enough of the jobs or people that are here legally to get some of these jobs. But here is the deal with the ICE crackdown. They're going after employers. If you're an employer who is in the habit of looking the other way when a job applicant can't prove they are in the country legally, there's a good chance now that you will receive an unexpected visit from ICE. In a recent press release from the agency of ICE, we learned that the second phase of a nationwide operation crackdown on employers of illegal aliens just concluded. ICE examined the records of more than 5,000 employers and wound up making a number of arrests. That's right. From July 16 to 20, the second phase of the operation Homeland Security served over 2,700 notice of intent and information and made 32 arrests. During the first phase of the operation, January 29 to March 30, they made 61 arrests. So now they're coming after business. We've often said here, those of us on the right have often said, well, why don't they go after the people who are hiring these illegals? They know they're illegal. Why are they hiring them? Shouldn't we go after? They're going after companies now that do this. And here's the thing. It's not just the illegals who are being arrested or fined. It is the businesses and or business owners themselves. Well, they're the ones doing the hiring or allowing the hiring to be done. And if you can't get anybody specifically responsible, then you just fine the company. You broke the rules, you broke the law, bingo, bango, bongo, and Irving, here's the company fine. And, oh, by the way, we're going to arrest the illegal immigrants that we know you have that are here, and so you're going to lose that employee too. And they have to go out and hire somebody else. And they're going to be damn sure, because now they're on the radar, they're going to be damn sure that the next person they hire is either an American citizen or a legal immigrant. It's the way it works. It's the way it happens. People, they think, they only skirt the law when they think they can get away with it. And it's, and usually, unless they're just a hardened criminal, if they get caught once, they will be very skittish to break that same rule or law again for fear that now the eyes are upon them and they're going to get caught again. That's why it's kind of rare to go into, well, for instance, you know, you find a convenience store that sells alcohol to an underage kid. And you know when they get raided. Because it doesn't matter. You go to, I know I don't look like I'm under 21. And it's not even flattering anymore when they ask for ID. It is just policy to ask ID from everyone. Because they've been raided before. They've been fined heavily before. They've been threatened with the loss of their liquor license before. And the owners are saying, oh, hell no, not going through that again. You're going to ask for ID from everyone. I don't care if they're 85 years old. And look, I've been in line when the kid behind the counter says, do you have your ID on you, sir? And he's like, do I look like I'm under 21? And he's like, I'm sorry, I have to ask. Because they actually literally have to enter your birth date into the register in order for the sale to go through. And with cameras on the cash register, they can't fake it. They can't fake it. So this is what happens. So just like these employers at the convenience store who get caught, either knowingly or unwittingly selling alcohol or sick tobacco products to an underage person, and they get caught once and heavily fined. They don't intend to break that rule again because they know they're going to be back. And indeed, it happens that these places, it is rare for a person to get for a company like that to be caught a second or third. Because usually, if they get caught a second or third time, they really do stand to lose their liquor and or tobacco licenses, and that would hurt them very badly. Some of these convenience stores, because it's profitable to have those products. And, you know, if somebody wants beer, but you don't have it, well, they're not going to come into your store. If they don't come into your store, they're not going to buy anything else either. So it's a big deal. Get caught once, that's it. Now, these employers getting caught once hiring illegals, that's going to be it for a long period of time for them. Because they know that the eyes of the government and ICE are going to be on them. And they are. They're going to be watching. And they're not going to risk being caught again. And that's the way you also help put a kibosh on people wanting to come here illegally. If employers will refuse to hire you, how are you going to support yourself? Well, you can't. But, some people are saying, well, this is just bad. They're going after these people, Rod. Well, ICE is saying, look, it's not just the fact that these people are being hired illegally. In order for some of these people to be hired, what are they doing? ICE is acknowledging what they're doing is what I've always said. They're committing identity fraud. They're stealing somebody else's social security number and or identity in order to get a job. And identity fraud, we know, is a huge problem right now. But somehow we're supposed to think that identity fraud, because they're illegal, is okay. It's not illegal. Or it's not okay. It is highly illegal. And these people are doing just as much, if not more, damage to real Americans' identities as if a real criminal got a hold of it. Because they're doing the same thing that the criminals do. They go out and they get credit cards, or they get apartments, or they buy vehicles or what have you on this person's identity. They don't know it. And then they go to try to buy a house, and all this shit comes up on them. Well, you had this and this repossession and you were evicted. And you're like, I've never even lived there, never owned that kind of car. Look, it's happened to me. I believe that when my identity was stolen, you know, a few years, some years ago, it was probably done by some illegal. And they bought a car in my name that I didn't know about until I got a call from the repossession company saying, where's the car? We want it. Like, what are you talking about? It's a real thing, folks. And I'm telling, and ICE is finally, Trump's ICE has got the picture. They've got the notion. They know what's going on. And they're going after people in phases in this stuff. They're going after companies now that are willing to hire illegals. Again, you cut off their source of income. Then they're not going to have any reason to come here. How can you keep all them illegals from coming? You build the wall. You strengthen the border security. You make sure that that people do not try to skirt the law by hiring illegal immigrants. You cut that down. You don't have people who can afford to stay here. They have no way to make a living. Just can't do it. Speaking of which, there's also a company that is under fire right now. Where is that? I had it. There was a landscaping company that was in a little bit of trouble because their business card basically said they didn't hire illegals. They're a legal American company, a landscaping company. Now, I know it's the stereotype. Well, in many communities, you know, who's employed by these landscapers? A bunch of Latinos. They're not Puerto Rican either, but a bunch of Latinos. And a lot of times, you know, you'll get some of these landscaping. I've seen them. You get some of these landscaping gangs, as they call them, and they're not a real gang, but you know, you get a group of employees that take care of, that go around in a group. And they take care of properties, you know, landscaping, that type of thing. And a lot of times, the people who are actually doing the grunt work, doing the mowing, they're Latinos that don't even speak English. So the supervisor has to translate between the boss and the employees. Tell them what to do. Hey, tell them to do this. Okay, man, I'll tell them. And he goes and speaks Spanish and tells them what to do. Well, the question is, how many of them are legal? And now you're noticing, I've noticed this year, even up here in New England, I've noticed this year, folks, and this is purely anecdotal, but I've noticed this year that there are fewer Latino landscape employees on the jobs out there. Now, I can only speculate to why that is. Could be a number of different reasons, but I'm telling you, I've noticed the lack of Latino employees for these landscape companies. Hell, Maine was talking about they were having a problem filling some of the jobs that they usually didn't have problems filling for the tourist season because there were fewer immigrants. Well, why are there fewer immigrants? Maybe there are fewer illegal immigrants. Maybe that's the whole point. So they were having to hire Americans at a slightly higher wage. Oh, God forbid you actually. And guess who's back on the job? American teenagers. Yeah, they're finding jobs. Isn't that something? The teen unemployment rate in the United States has dropped as well as the regular adult unemployment rate. There are no immigrants to fill the jobs because they're not crossing the border illegally. They're not getting to where they normally go illegally. They're being caught and sent back. And so now citizens and legal immigrants are getting the jobs. But there's just not enough of us. Oh, yeah, there are. You just have to give some sort of incentive to get more people to get off their duffs. I don't know how you incentivize. Parents have to incentivize teenagers to get off their butts, but adults, you in Maine, you cut them off. They cut off people on welfare. The state of Maine is, what was the last thing? You know, you can't stay on welfare forever in Maine. It's very difficult to stay on welfare or get state government assistance in Maine forever. It's hard. There are certain things you got to. There are people that just refuse to do even the simplest things, even just act like they're going to look. When they first instituted their new rules, you have to look for a job. If you're capable of getting a job, and the state will determine what kind of jobs, if you think that you're incapable of having a job, if you're disabled, well, you can get certain kinds of jobs. You got to look for, and you got to prove that you're looking for it. There are people that just refuse to even look for a job. So they took themselves off the system by not following the rules. They could have gotten exemptions. There are people that are still on you know, state getting state benefits, but they didn't. They knew they wouldn't pass the exemption, so they basically took themselves off the system. And Maine has cut their welfare by over 75%. And now these people are getting jobs are available, not low paying McDonald's jobs either. So it's kind of, even in Maine. So you can incentivize people to get off their ass and take care of themselves. Again, teenagers are a different story because they're living under mom and dad's thumb, and it's going to take mom and dad to, you know, the kid's parents to force them to get off from, you know, from behind the computer or the Xbox or what have you, and get out there and do something healthy and, like, gain work experience and having to deal with people face-to-face. But other things, other people, they're being incentivized to get a job. And now because of that, Maine has a problem with filling certain kinds of positions and roles for employers up there. That's not a bad thing. And it isn't so bad where now employers are trying to scarf employees from other companies by raising their salary. So there is a slight uptick all over the country of people getting better salaries, you know, it raises, but it's not inflationary. It's amazing how that happens. When you let things happen naturally, the whole system can absorb the increases without passing off the cost to the consumer, thus raising prices, thus increasing inflation. I've mentioned how that happens all the time in this program. Well, how do you pay people more or hire more people without raising your prices? You sell more. And you're able to sell more because more people are working and have discretionary income to buy your product or service. That's how. That's the way it's always worked, on a more permanent basis without inflation. If you have one employee that can service 100 customers, but now you have 150 customers and you're heading to 200 customers, well, you hire another employee. And those additional new customers take care of the salary of that new employee. You don't have to raise your price. See how that works? I mean, if your employee is overworked with 100, but you can say, well, you got to get by, man. I can't afford to hire somebody else. And you get to 150, and really that employee can really honestly should handle only 75. You get to 150, well, you hire that new person. And there's no need to raise your price. And guess who makes more money? The employer. Guess what the employer can do as well, because there are more people coming to his business and he's making more money. He can pass a little bit off to the employee. I want to give you a raise. Give you both a raise. How's that? That's the way it works without raising inflation. Oh, by the way, yeah, no, the left doesn't understand that.
Warning. Listening to the Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
And now a message from our sponsor. Ladies, tired of drying your hair with the same old vacuum cleaner? Try Avanshave brand new Beauty Locks portable hair dryer. It's smaller, it's faster, it's guaranteed to give you the hair you've always wanted in half the time. Beauty Locks is delicate and dainty, just like you. The dryer weighs only a pound and easily fits in your hand. Now that's beauty and convenience. With a speedy motor that will dry your hair in as little as 25 minutes, you can get gorgeous hair without falling behind schedule. Don't worry about the little ones or that pie in the oven. Thanks to an extra-long extension cord, you can move around while primping your locks. Forget those long trips to the salon and no more waiting for hours under monster machines. Avanche gives you an easy and speedy hairdo that will blow your man away. Get it now at your nearest Macy's.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit, low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit doesn't matter. No credit doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Today, there's a beer for everyone.
Hey, me and the guys are going out for a beer. You want to come along?
Nah, I got a lot of data to enter into the computer tonight.
Now, there's a brew for the future.
Want me to bring you something back?
Thanks, but I got some right here.
Microsoft Brew.
You got a beer tap on your computer?
With a head so thick, you can float a mouse on it.
Let me get this straight. You make your own beer with the computer?
With the right software, you can do anything.
Microsoft Brew.
Here, I call this one Windows 95.
I don't know. It leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
And if you got to get there quicker, try the new ISDN malt liquor.
Hello, America. It's me, your history. I remember a time when we thumbed our nose in a king's face, sent him packing. And when fascists and emperors talked a little bit too loud, we showed up, tore their cities to the ground, and then rebuilt them just to prove we could. We put men on the moon, we won a Cold War, and we elected fearless leaders who led fearless people. What the hell happened to you, America? Back in my day, we didn't elect a big-eared community organizer. We punched him in the kidney. Maybe it's time you came home, America. Home where you belong.
In the program where, of course, we bring you today's holidays. Yes, there are a few holidays for today, July number 26, and they are thus. It is Aunt and Uncle's Day. Today is a day that we celebrate the siblings of our parents, our aunts and our uncles. Many of them have probably spoiled you, or if you are the parent of a spoiled niece or nephew, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm one of those bad spoiling uncles. I do that to my nieces. Spoil them all the time. And, of course, my sister and brother-in-law usually beg me not to spoil them. But I say, hey, I'm the uncle. I'm allowed. And not only am I the uncle, one of my nieces, I'm also the godfather. So I doubly get to spoil her. Yeah, so you probably have to deal with it too. So it's an Aunt and Uncle's Day today. It's also National All or Nothing Day. What is National All or Nothing Day? Today is the day to stop thinking about something you've been deliberating doing and finally decide if you're going to do it or not. You celebrate the day by finally making decisions on the big life goals and questions that have been beleaguering your mind, possibly even your body. Decide if you're going to give it your all or give it nothing and don't look back. Give it all or nothing. That is today, All or Nothing Day. It is also National Bagel Fest Day. In 1986, Lenders Bagels opened a bagel factory in Mattoon, Illinois. Multiple sources claim it's the world's largest bagel factory, and a city calls itself the bagel capital of the world. And in July of 1986, Murray Linder, then the company's spokesman, although no longer its owner, as it was sold to Kraft in 84, Murray Lindell held a free bagel breakfast for everyone in Mattoon. You celebrate today by eating bagels. You can eat one or a ton. Head out to a bakery or to a coffee shop and pick up some, or make your own bagels and eat them with cream cheese, or get them with a smear of lox and whatever. Get creative with your toppings, I guess, is what they say. But today is Bagel Fest Day, the day to celebrate and eat bagels. A couple of food and drink things today. It's a National Chili Dog Day as well. Don't think I need to explain that, how you celebrate that. We're close to the fair, county and state fair season, so you think that Chili Dog Day would be closer to those types of events in August and September. But no, today is National Chili Dog Day. I know people try to eat them at baseball games. That's a mess, though. That's why just regular hot dogs are a better way to go at a baseball. Not a hamburger. You don't eat a hamburger at a baseball game. You have to eat a hot dog and nachos and peanuts. Popcorn is more movie thing, not the baseball diamond, but peanuts, definitely. Roasted peanuts, definitely a baseball thing. Hot dogs, definitely baseball. Beer, or if you're too young, soda, Coke, or Pepsi, is definitely baseball stuff. Chili dogs, kind of messy for that. That's usually picnic stuff. That even might be even 4th of July stuff, I guess. I don't know. But it is National Chili Dog Day, so have at it. It's also National Coffee Milkshake Day. Not just any milkshake. It's got to be coffee milkshake. It is also National Refreshment Day. I guess, you could have anything. If you want to have a refreshment, today's the day to have a coffee milkshake. But if you don't like milkshakes, just about in national refreshment, just about anything will do. But it's usually refers to adult beverages. Yeah, libations even. Doesn't have to be a libation. It could be just beer. Those are refreshing, depending on the beer. Depending on what you like, I guess. I don't know. In any case, it is National Refreshment Day. It is National Coffee Milkshake Day. It is One Voice Day. It's a leftist thing. You know, we all speak with one voice. Doesn't matter your color of your skin or your religion or whatever, dude. It's one voice. We know that's not true because if you lean right of the center, then you're not part of that one voice, by the way. Just saying. And finally, it is also National Intern Day. Yes, you can say that internships are akin to legalized slavery because not all, but most interns get paid very little to nothing. And they're, of course, what they receive is college credit and or real world job experience. But even the real world job experience is usually often minimal for an internship. You really don't learn a whole hell of a lot because you're too busy doing what interns do, like go and get the boss coffee milkshake. That's the way it is. So that's what interns do. But colleges still promote internships. A lot of companies will have interns. Some companies do pay interns, and some interns actually get paid fairly well. They don't get paid as well as as a real quote unquote employee in that same position, but they still don't, you know, especially being in college, because they still get to do their college stuff, and an intern usually does not work or is not expect. Well, I got to be careful how I put this. An intern usually isn't required to put in 40 hours a week on the job, even if they're paid. Because they have college, they still have school to do, and they have to do their homework. But oftentimes, interns, because they claim they want the experience, they want to learn, they do put in 40 hours or more, just like anybody else. But they're not required in most cases. But it is National Intern Day. So those are your holidays for today, July number 23. Now, especially with the National Refreshment part and the Chili Dog part, because you don't want heartburn, go out and celebrate responsibly. Speaking of having refreshments, did you see this one? Dallas Cowboys, according to Fox Business, Dallas Cowboys players must now stand for the anthem, so says owner Jerry Jones. Yes, Dallas. Now, Jerry Jones was out there a couple of years ago, standing, you know, arm in arm, lockstep with his players. When this whole brouhaha got started. But now he's done he's learned his lesson, I guess. Now Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones said yesterday that the team's players will be required to stand on the sidelines for the national anthem this season. And this, of course, comes after the NFL said it would freeze its new policy on the so-called polarizing issue amid ongoing negotiation with the players' union. There is no negotiation. Look, your employees. There are certain things you can negotiate in your contracts. Got it. How you get paid, when you get paid, how much you get paid. Got it. But your conduct on and off the field is non-negotiable. Your employees. That's what the NFL should say. According to Jones, our policy is you stand during the anthem, toe on the line. No exceptions. Now, the NFL announced a new policy this offseason that would have required players to either stand at attention on the sideline during the national anthem or wait in the locker room. The NFL and NFL Players Association, through recent decisions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue, the two entities said in a joint statement. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's Players Association grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. It's unclear if the NFL will have a new policy in place before the 2018 season. Jones, who has maintained a dialogue with Trump throughout the debate over the league's anthem policy, was critical of the president's public remarks on the issue. However, his interest in what we're doing is problematic from my chair, and I would say in general, the owner's chair, is what Jones said. It's unprecedented if you really think about it, but like the very game itself, that's the way it is, and we'll deal with it. And so now he says all players will be required. There, it doesn't say in the Fox Business story what the repercussions will be if a player does not do what Jones says. Now, if you know Jerry Jones, the repercussions is going to be a pretty hefty fine. He's not going to keep his players from play because he wants to win. Jones wants to, but he's going to fine him. He's gonna find him. But that is, will this get you to start at least watching Dallas Cowboy games? What if the player in the other team doesn't stand? What if they kneel or hide out in the locker room? You still gonna watch? Look, the NFL still has some problems. Until they resolve this positively. And put the NFL Players Association in its place as being the employees that they are. They don't get to run or rule the roost here. I'm done with NFL. I'm probably, you know, just like baseball, professional baseball. Ever since their 90s strike, I swore off professional baseball. And I, except for winning a few tickets to go to a few Red Sox games. I never paid for them. Somebody else always took me. I have not supported or watched professional baseball since the 90s. Because of that. I'm the type of person, when I make a decision, I don't go back unless you give me a really damn good reason to. I don't go back. Like people that know me realize that I will never, ever buy a Hyundai automobile ever again because of the tremendous bad experience both with the vehicles themselves and the customer service, both from the dealer, multiple dealerships and the auto manufacturer at the time. They've lost me as a customer forever. And this is the way I roll. It's not a grudge. I'm not holding a grudge. I don't have to spend my money on them. I don't have to spend my money buying overpriced tickets for baseball, for basketball, for football. It doesn't matter. I don't have to watch it on TV. I can spend my time doing other things. It's not a boycott. I just choose to spend my time and my money in other places. Because they don't act like they want me for a customer. So I'm going to oblige them and not be their customer. The same with football. If they're going to denigrate me and my country, that means that they're acting like they don't want me as a customer. And if I'm watching them on TV or going to Foxborough Stadium and paying these ridiculous prices for these tickets and buying all this NFL paraphernalia, they're actually telling me that they don't care if I do that or not. They don't really want me as a customer. I'm a customer. Fans are nothing more than customers. They don't want me as a customer. Fine. Then I will not spend my money or my time on you if you don't want me as a customer. Win-win, right? It's not a boycott. It's a win-win. You don't want me, don't want my business, I won't give it to you. That's simple. A boycott is when you still want to do business with them, but you stop for a period of time to try to force them to do what you want them to do. I'm not trying to force the NFL into doing anything. They have basically said they don't want me, an American citizen who's all gung-ho about America and being proud to be an American and standing for the anthem. They don't want me as a customer. So fine. I will not be your customer anymore. I don't have any intention of going back until they decide that they want me as a customer again. And even then, look, Hyundai has sent me stuff in the mail before. And every time, you know, check out the new Hyundai. You know, it goes right in the garbage. See, it's Hyundai. Don't even read what it has to say in the garbage. So just because you want me back as a customer doesn't mean you're going to get me. It happens with a couple of cell phone companies, too. I will not do business with them. Only because they, at one point when I was their customer, they actually acted like they could care less if I was a customer of theirs or not. So fine. I will not do business with you because you don't want me as a customer, and so I don't want to give you my money or my time. Plain and simple. It's not a boycott. Boycott means at some point in time I go back to you because you change and you do what I want you to do. Nope. I don't. If the NFL were to decide today that they were going to have full-on compliance with enforcing everybody to stand for the national anthem every single game, every single player, I still probably wouldn't watch. Just saying. I still wouldn't support. Before we run out of time, Maxine Waters, Mad Maxine, says that she's been sent by God to oppose Trump. I kid you not. She's been sent by God to get Trump. Yes, she was in the pulpit at some gathering, and Maxine Waters says she hammered, telling the congregants of this gathering, "I'm in this fight. We never dreamed we'd have someone in the White House who was divisive, Obama, who could not tell the truth, Obama and Clinton, and who was intent on not making America great again, you and Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, but taking America down, Obama." She hammered Trump, telling the congregants, "I'm in this fight. I don't know shut up. I don't know intimidation. I don't know fear. Mad Max is on a tear." But you know, all that stuff that she was saying, how is having more Americans, lowering the unemployment rate, raising the labor participation rate, having fair trade with all of our trading partners, how is that bringing America down? Getting the world to be safer, including America to be safer, by removing a dictator's evil ambitions up in North Korea. How is that, and engaging another enemy like Putin in Russia, how is that bringing America down? Look, Trump is not bringing America down. He's raising America's stature again, and that's what the left, including Mad Maxine, does not want. No, no, she doesn't want that. Because all that's, you know, you having a better life, that's crumbs, because you haven't had Mad Maxine's permission to have a better life. Why, she's living high on the hog, and as far, I heard that she doesn't even live within the district that she represents. Well, I mean, if you were Mad Maxine, you had all that kind of money, would you live in a shithole too? No, you'd move outside if you could. Move outside of that shithole. I guess she does. I don't know if that's true. I haven't bothered to look up all the districts in California. It's not my state. I don't live there. I don't really need to know. I mean, some people say, well, Rod, you need to know that. No, I don't, because I don't have any effect on whether or not Mad Maxine gets elected or not. That's the people of her district in the state of California that have to decide that. I don't live there. They've got to decide for themselves, is she the right person for them? And evidently they've decided that she is. No matter what the truth is about this woman, they've decided she's the right person for them. So there's me, as a real outsider living 3,000 miles away, I have no influence. So I don't need to find out if she actually lives in her district or not. My concern is, do my representatives live in my district? Are they truly representing me here in New Hampshire? That's where I make the big difference. I can't make any difference out in California because I can't vote there. I don't live there. It makes no difference. That's the people of California. You can only do wherever you live. It's not going to make you're not going to be able to influence what happens. Basically, you're not going to be able to influence what happens in my state. You're not going to be able to determine whether or not it's the right thing or not for us here if our representatives actually live within the boundaries of our districts or not. I mean, what really is it to you if you live down there, say, in Texas or Kentucky or Alabama? And just the same, you know, do I really have a voice in who you elect for your senator or your governor? I don't, down in Georgia. I don't. I know that these are not, you know, well, except not governor, but, you know, senator and congressman. I know they're national, construed to be national offices. But again, we're not your typical country. We're a union with representatives at the federal level. We're a union, united republic with representation at the federal level. So you have to vote for the person that is going to be represent your state or your district, and put its, you know, put its district first. You know, in my, for me, Gene Shaheen should put New Hampshire first. You know, Donald Trump says it's America first. Well, for Gene Shaheen, it should be, you know, she's one of our senators. It should be New Hampshire first. That's the way it works. And Alabama should be Alabama first. You know, California should be California first. I get it. That's the way it works. And I get that these people get together in Washington and they all congregate and get to, that's why you need to pay attention to who you're electing in your own district. You need people who are not going to congregate and just become yes people to some swamp monster leadership in Washington, D.C. And Trump has proven that that can happen. You can vote people who are not yes men. We've done that before. And, you know, I don't think that Ted Cruz is a yes man. He's not a swamp monster. I don't think Rand Paul is either. So it's possible to elect these kinds of people. You just have to be on top of it. But, yeah, Mad Maxine thinks that she's on a mission from God in order to take down Trump. You know, I would say, okay, Mad Maxine, go for it. But the problem is, all that stuff that you said that you are against is exactly what Bill Clinton was trying to do, what Barack Obama did do, and what Hillary Clinton wanted to continue to do. That's the truth. Bring America down. Bring it down a notch or two or three or five. That's what they wanted. But American people said, oh, hell no, we ain't going to have that. But that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it is Thursday, because we're out of time for today. But we will be back here tomorrow for Open Mic Freedom of Friday. Can't believe it's Friday already. Just about anything goes. You want me to talk about something? You can call in via Skype or send me a direct message anywhere that you can send me a direct message that I'm on. And we'll talk about it. Until then, have a wonderful Thursday afternoon. I'll be back here tomorrow for you. Same bat time, same bat channel. I'm out.
Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A shameless politician always plays her cards right. Got a crew for the fight on the airwaves. Lap dogs in the press, keep the mouths tight. Cause a Clinton never needs to explain what, why it is, what they done, or with who. A real Clinton knows that they're entitled, and you don't get to know what they do.
What difference does it make?
For Clinton, what's loaded in some fat apple file? A Clinton plays the victim for promotion. A Clinton kills it off with a smile. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. A server full of secrets ain't no thing. Damn, it feels good to be a Clinton. Nothing ever hits with a sting.